The Princess Bride has been a family favorite for close to three decades, ranked by the American Film Institute as one of the top 100 greatest love stories, and by the Writers Guild of America as one of the top 100 screenplays of all time. Now from actor Cary Elwes, who played the iconic role of Wesley in The Princess Bride, comes an account and behind-the-scenes look at the making of the cult classic film, filled with never-before-told stories, photographs and interviews with his co-stars, the name of the book, As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of The Princess Bride. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Cary Elwes to the program. Thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So, it is down to you, and it is down to me.
This, from my understanding, all ultimately came out of the 25th anniversary.
That's correct. We all got together for a screening at the Lincoln Center in New York, and we were all asked on stage, you know, what our favorite memories were of making the film. And I didn't feel like I had enough time to really share how much fun I had on this film, because fans ask me all the time, you know, how much fun was it making this film? Was it as fun as it looked? And I always say it was more fun. So I decided I wanted to write this book and share with them just how joyful an experience it was, not just for me, but for everyone involved, and do it before my memory started to fail me.
What's fascinating is that it seems like you got input from everybody.
Yes, we're very blessed. Even though I co-wrote the book with Joseph Layden right here, we both share the book with the cast and the filmmakers, so we're very blessed, yeah.
And you all share that love of the project, that it's something, when you look back at the career, that is special.
It's very special. It was a special time in my life. I was 23 when I made the film. It was my first big Hollywood movie. And I was working with my peer group, people I admired greatly. Bill Goldman, one of the great national treasures, responsible for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Marathon Man, All the President's Men, Rob Reiner, whose film This Is Spinal Tap had come out a few years earlier. I'd seen it already about 20 times, like most people, and The Sure Thing. And he was just editing Stand By Me when we started the movie. And then this tsunami of talent in the cast around me. Billy Crystal, who I knew from Soap, Chris Sarandon from Dog Day Afternoon, Chris Guest from, obviously, as Nigel Tufnell, Carol Kane, I knew her from Taxi, Ragtime, Mandy, whose work, I mean, he's just already had won a Tony, and I'd seen him in Yentl. And so I was easily probably the novice on the set. You know, even Andre had a bigger resume than I did at that point, you know. So I was a little intimidated at first, but everybody made me feel very, very welcome.
What is a Rob, and you write about this in the book, but what is a Rob Reiner set like?
Oh, it's joyful. He sets the tone. He not only handpicked the cast for this film, he handpicked nearly all of the crew. And the reason he did that is he knew we were all going on a journey together, and he wanted to make it special. He's the kind of guy that he rented a grill, a little mini grill, and installed it in his hotel suite in Derbyshire. And he made hamburgers and hot dogs for us every night in his suite, you know, while we played card games or Monopoly or whatever. I mean, just it was really fun.
With that, according to the book, you were hurt a lot.
I was hurt a lot. I'm a bit of a clot. It's true. The first injury happened when my hubris exceeded my aptitude when I was fooling around on Andre the Giant's all-terrain vehicle, which was the only way he could get around on the set on location, because we were filming in a very mountainous area, the Peak District, which is well-named. He kept riding up to me on it, and he loved this thing. He had one at home in North Carolina. He loved it. He was going so fast, this giant, on this little bike. He kept riding up to me going, "You like my toy, boss?" I go, "It's great, Andre. It looks so much fun." He goes, "It is fun. You should try it." I go, "No, I really don't think I should." He goes, "Come on, boss. You know you want to." And this went on for like 3 or 4 days straight. On the fifth day, he rode up to me and went, "Boss, you still want to try my toy?" I went, "Okay, Andre, fine. I'll give it a shot." And his bodyguard, which is hilarious, like he needed a bodyguard. His bodyguard came up to me and said, "Oh, it's very easy, governor. It's just like a motorbike. You just put your left foot here, clutch pedal, gear stick, Bob's your uncle," which really was a pretty hopeless lesson anyway. But at any rate, I lurched forward on this thing, and I didn't get more than 2 feet, and I went over a rock and caught my left big toe between the clutch pedal and a rock, and I broke it instantly, and I felt it break, and I was terrified because I started to sweat immediately. This is the first week of shooting, and we're 3 weeks away from the sword fighting scene, and I thought, that's it. They're going to send me home. I broke my toe fooling around on this thing, which I had no business being on. And Rob, God bless him, he was very sweet about it all. You know, he said, don't worry about it. You know, we'll work around it if we have to. But it could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse.
You are wonderful.
Thank you. I've worked hard to become so.
I admit it, you are better than I am.
Then why are you smiling?
Because I know something you don't know.
And what is that?
I am not left-handed.
You're amazing.
I ought to be after 20 years.
Oh, there's something I ought to tell you.
Tell me. I'm not left-handed either.
So let's talk about the sword fighting scene. It's one of the, of course, the great scenes in the film, and you identify it as one of your favorite scenes in the movie.
The whole shoot was delightful, as I mentioned earlier, but we were very proud of the sword fight. We had wonderful trainers. Bob Anderson, who was an Olympic fencer for Great Britain in the 50s, and Peter Diamond, who was a sword master. Both of them had worked with Errol Flynn and Burt Lancaster, and they did all the lightsaber sequences in the first three, the trilogy, Star Wars trilogy. So Rob wanted the best of the best, you know, around us, and these guys were amazing. I mean, they may have been in their 60s, but they were fast, lightning fast, incredible to work with. You know, the day I broke my toe, Peter Diamond came up to me and went, don't think this means that you're going to get off training. Because they trained us eight hours a day when we weren't shooting, and they were standing off camera between setups. The moment there was a break in the shoot, they would grab Mandy or I and go and train with us. So he said to me after my broken toe, he goes, all this means is we're going to focus more on your arm movements. Which, in a way, was kind of a blessing in disguise because it helped me focus on my left-handed sword fighting, which I was not that proficient at.
Left and right.
Left and right. I mean, I was proficient at neither. But it did force me to focus on the arm movement, so, yeah.
In watching the film at a recent screening, you see all of these people next to you, and it's a very odd experience because everybody's lips are moving. And they know all the dialogue.
Right.
This is a film that obviously people watch over and over and over again.
No, I know. I call it the gift that keeps on giving. It's incredible, Joe. It's a family film. You know, it's a sweet film. It's funny. Families can sit down and watch. I meet whole families, grandparents, parents, kids, grandkids, the whole thing, who've all sat down and watched it together. And they all enjoy it in their own way, you know? And that's a rare thing nowadays, that families can sit down and watch a film together, you know? I think because it was made with a lot of heart, I think that has a lot to do with it. Don't forget, when Bill Goldman wrote the book in 73, the concept of the book came from his daughters. He asked his two daughters, what book do you want me to write? And one daughter said Princesses, and the other said Brides. So I think we were off to a good start. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Bill Clinton saw it 200 times.
I know. I mean, the mind boggles. I was shooting a film called From the Earth to the Moon for HBO that Tom Hanks produced back in 1998. And I get a call from the wonderful Mr. Tom Hanks, and he says, I hope you have a nice suit. And I go, why? He goes, because we're going to the White House. I go, what do you mean? Turns out that part of the Millennium Series that the Clintons were organizing at the White House, they decided that one of the things they wanted to do was screen the episode I happened to be in, where I played Michael Collins in the Apollo 11 episode at the White House. So I couldn't believe it. So I went, I bought the nicest suit I could possibly find, and took my wife, and we flew up to Washington. And they screened the movie right there in the White House. It was unbelievable. Between the portraits of Martha and George Washington, it was extraordinary. And after the movie, we went up and met the president. I stuck out my hand. I said, Mr. President, my name is, and he stopped me, and he goes, I know exactly who you are, Carrie. And my heart froze, because I thought, how does he know who I am? I didn't have that big of a part in this episode, you know? I thought, gosh, what's in my FBI file? Maybe that's it. You know, I've only had speeding tickets my whole life, you know? Surely that's not of importance to the Secret Service. And he saw the look on my face, and he goes, no, it's not what you think. Chelsea and I love The Princess Bride. I must have seen that movie over 200 times. That's my favorite movie. I love that film. You were good tonight, but you were great as Wesley. And I was blown away, as anyone would be, when you have the President of the United States compliment you on your work, you know? So we sent Chelsea an autographed copy of the script, and we got a lovely note back, which I have framed on my office to this day. So
I do want to, while we have this time, I also want to ask you about your experience of working with Mel Brooks. You mentioned it in the book that one of the things, that when the film was released, all of these people get to see the movie, including Mel Brooks, and you're nervous because these comedy greats are seeing it, and then you ultimately end up working with this comedy great.
Right. Yeah, the first screening of the film that I went to was a rough cut that Rob had. I think it was at 20th Century Fox. Rob invited all of his family and their friends, and so Carl was there, and Mel Brooks, and Bancroft. I mean, it was incredible. Gene Wilder was there with Gilda Radner. And after the movie, they all came up to me and told me how much they loved the film and how much they loved my performance. So I was, I mean, again, I'm just tongue-tied and speechless, you know? These are my heroes, yeah? And then I get a call a few years later from Mel Brooks. He called me at home, actually. He found my home number, and he called me. He goes, hello, this is Mel Brooks. And I thought someone was playing a trick on me, because I have friends who can mimic too. And I went, yeah, right. And I hung up on him. And about 2 minutes later, the phone rang again. It's really me. Don't hang up. And it was him. And I couldn't believe it. He was calling to talk to me about playing Robin Hood. He had this movie he wanted to make, Robin Hood Men in Tights, and he wanted to talk to me about it. So I don't know what to say. It was a dream come true for me. I'd seen all of his films a million times. I knew every line. Just like people know all the lines to Princess Bride, that's how I am with all of Mel Brooks's movies, you know?
One of the things that you bring out in the book, which is fascinating, is that here was a film that its success came later on. Its success came after, thanks to cable and to release on video.
Yeah, it's sort of a film that was mostly dead for a long time, actually. We didn't get the kind of box office response that we'd hoped, and of course we were all a little bummed out by that. It wasn't until the VHS market started booming and the cable market started booming that people started renting copies and then buying them and then giving them to their friends and families for holidays or birthdays and things like that. And that's when this film really found its legs and found its audience. And I remember it was about a decade after it came out almost, and I was in a restaurant in Manhattan, and I was ordering a hot dog or a hamburger, I think it was, and a waitress came up to me and she said, how do you want that cooked? And I said, medium rare. And she goes, as you wish. I went, what? She looked at me and she goes, you know. And she winked and walked off, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, this film is now back on people's, inside their psyche. I couldn't believe it. It was incredible.
Well, the book is a blast to read, and wonderful tales, as you wish, inconceivable tales from the making of The Princess Bride. It is published by Touchstone and written with Joe Layden, with a foreword by Rob Reiner. Cary Elwes, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being on the program. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Again, the title of the book, As You Wish, published by Touchstone. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye. Bye.